The two old stages are still on annual leave. They're back on Monday. But filling in today, we have got some real football royalty sitting right alongside of me. I'm Brent Biglands. I'm certainly not that. But the man to my right is a premiership player for the Port Adelaide Power. And, of course, the assistant coach of GWS in 2018. And well, not 18, 17, 16 and beyond. Did a great job. Dean Brogan joins us. G'day, Dean.
Wow, that's a fair introduction, Biggles. Thank you very much for having me. What a pleasure.
Keep it short. Could have gone on forever, but mate, great to have you back in Adelaide. You've returned to your home state. Welcome back. What's the plan?
Mate, it's good to be back. I've been up in Sin City for 6 years and got all I can out of my coaching at this stage in my career, mate. And I'm coming back to a 9-to-5-er. I'm coming back to do some business stuff. And
it's not what I'm hearing. I'm hearing there's rumours around with some vacant coaching jobs at the moment. But we'll get into that a little bit later on. But welcome to the rush, yeah? You love your sport. You're all over NBA, NBL, you name it.
I do love my sport, mate. And what a pleasure it is to be back in the City of Churches, my home state, and talking sport with the great man like yourself, mate.
Oh, yeah. Now, the Triple M family will get on board at any stage via Twitter at Triple M Adelaide or 133353. We've got some beautiful prizes to give away to Brogues throughout the show. You're obviously a big fan of the rush hour, though. You hear the old two blokes waffle on a bit.
Oh, they do. And not much stuff changed in Adelaide. When I left, those two blokes were on it, and they're still on it, Jars and Louis, but well, it didn't ruin that. Used to do the afternoons, now they're doing the mornings. Yeah, they swapped around.
They went for more cash, they went earlier. Yeah. Hey, one thing has changed though, when you did leave, Port Adelaide used to struggle to sign players, and now, oh my lord, they are more popular than free beers at the brewery at the moment.
Mate, it's incredible. When I left Port, you couldn't get anybody to the club. Now, I've watched them over the last, 4 or 5 years, and they've got some absolute A-graders coming to their club. They've got a former captain coming to their club, Tommy Rockcliffe. He's an absolute star. And they have been big players this trade period, and I don't think they're done yet either.
Plenty more of that to come in the program. Don't forget the quiz with no name, thanks to Automasters, just after 5. We have got Craig Williams on board as well, telling us about the $10 million Everest
tomorrow. A little bit of inside info for us there for tomorrow.
Warren Treadray will join us, the bloke with no shoulders, and Damien Barrett, the purple-headed warrior, with all the details from Trade Week. Stick around, plenty of prize to give away for the UBA Adelaide Cup also.
Charles and Louis, they're back on Monday. Right now, you've got Rhett Biglands and former Port Ruckman and Premiership player Dean Brogan. We're off and running. It's a rush hour on Triple M.
Hi, I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts and starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick. I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Jazz and Louis, they're back on Monday. In the meantime, you've got former premiership star for the Power, Dean Brogan, and former Crows champ. Does that work for you, Biggles?
No, that's not true. But anyway, I'll take it. Hey, your old mob Brogues have really struck hard again, convincing Stephen Motlop that his future lies at the Power. Of course, he's a restricted free agent. He's nominated Port his club of choice over Adelaide and the Gold Coast.
Mm, look, I think Adelaide will be a bit dirty with this, Biggles.
No doubt.
I think they thought they were shooing for this. And it's a massive coup for Port. And I think from what we, you'll hear from Treaders a bit later, but from what we're hearing, they really rolled out the red carpet for him when he came, and he was really impressed with that. And we all know Port's, Daniel and Stephen have played at the club, so he's got good family that have been there. They run a great Indigenous program down there, run by Paulie Van Burt, does a great job. I think all those things would have appealed to Stephen Motlop. And look, he's on his day, Motlop, he's a very, very good player. And is he inconsistent? Yes, he is.
So is he worth that sort of coin? Because you and I probably don't think he is.
Look, and this is something we
spoke about. All that length of contract.
Yeah, I mean, but if you look at what players are getting now and the way the salary cap is, it's pretty much stock standard, really. And 2 years ago, he was running up in best and fairest. Yes, he'd frustrate the hell out of you as a coach because some games he just doesn't show up. But then other games, when we saw him in the finals against Adelaide, he can be the best player on the ground. So I think clubs look at the clubs who are poaching players of his caliber look at more of the upside more than the downside. So Geelong would probably be more looking at what he can't do, and you know clubs like Adelaide and Port and Gold Coast who really want him would be looking at what he can do. And they've rolled out the bank book and the length of years, and it's a big win for Port, mate.
Hey, so when you were assistant coach this year at GWS, how would you plan for Motler? What would you say, you know, in your preparation? Because obviously he is a danger, but where would he sit in the pecking order as far as Geelong's players?
Yeah, well, look, I think when he was up and running a couple of years ago, when he was finished second in the best and fairest for them, we'd put someone on him and stick with him everywhere he went, because he's a forward that loves to get up the ground and get very creative. And we spent a lot of time on him. Because he's a connector. Makes really good decisions, and he has high score involvements, which is what every club wants at the moment. But I'd have to admit, when we've played him this year, in the last, especially this year, the Giants, we've sort of let him do his own thing, because we've sort of said, well, what Mollop are you going to get today? Because he's been really inconsistent over the last 12, 18 months. So I think a fresh change, a fresh look's going to be good for him, and I think he's going to slip perfectly in Port Adelaide's team.
So what's changed now in your belief with Port Adelaide, and in particular their recruiting? Chris Davey's doing a wonderful job down there, but when you left the club, they were struggling to sort of attract players. Now they've got blokes begging to get there. Rockcliffe just signed. All of a sudden it looks like Watts possibly could come also.
Yeah, look, it's hard. I'm a big believer it starts from the top. And I know when I was there was a lot of unrest from from the top down to the coaching staff, down to the players, even down to the boot starter. Yeah, everyone was disjointed, and it wasn't a great place to be. And I think since David Koch has come in, and you can say all you want about this bloke, he has sorted the joint out. From what I can see from being an outsider, being away from 6 years, I look at Port Adelaide now as a powerful club off the field, okay? They have their issues like any other team on the field, but they're a club a player wants to go to now. They play in front of big crowds. They're financially sound. They pay players now. I think in the past they haven't wanted to pay players. They open the checkbook up. I think they're a pretty settled club. I mean, they're going to have their own issues like every other club, but you look at Port Adelaide now and you think they're legit. They're run like a business now, not like the old Port Adelaide Magpies, that sort of stuff, which I reckon their past has caught up with them a little bit. They're run as a business. And they're a powerful club. Are they bigger than Adelaide Crows? Financially, probably not, but they're a powerful club.
No doubt. One of the most powerful in the AFL, particularly this week in trade week. Hey, one of your boys, Devin Smith, who was at the Giants, has signed with the Bombers, and an amazing pick as well, pretty high up, pick 11. Where do you see his skills? Obviously, he put his hand up to play in the semi and the prelim despite that knee injury, but is he worth that? Because this may cost them Jake Stringer.
Yeah, look, it's a big win for the Giants to get pick 11. From what I heard, they went after that pick right from the start of the week, and Essendon said, nope, we're not doing that. He's not worth that. Look, is Devin Smith worth pick 11? Probably not at the moment, but when he's in full flight, he's a very good player. And he's had some knee issues, but I think a fresh start for him. He's been up there for 6 years. He's hasn't got his body right this year. Very challenging sort of player, but mate, as we spoke about, these little small nippy speed players.
New vogue, isn't it?
It's in vogue, it's in trend. We saw Richmond and Bulldogs last year, especially Richmond this year. It's become small ball, using a basketball term, it's become small ball. It's for the game is built for people who can run quick, got good skills, and can get up the ground and be creative.
We're loving having you on board, fresh out of the game. Hazy, plenty more to come as well, particularly with Warren Treadray. I reckon he'll have a full book of info too.
Absolutely. The quiz with no name, not too far away as well. Your chance to score $1,000 just by answering 10 questions. It's all ahead of us. It's a rush hour, Triple M.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, it's time for our favourite Warren.
Because I'm Warren. Gary Treadray.
Here I am, get stuck.
Rogues love that intro. Little chuckle on it.
It's unbelievable.
Great to have you on board, Wazza.
Welcome back, Cafe.
Happy Friday. Thanks.
Cafe Brogo's back in town permanently.
Thanks, Treasure. It's good to be here.
Look out, there's plenty of damage to be done. And not only by him, but a man called Stephen Motlop, Treaders, who has selected Port Adelaide over Adelaide after touring both clubs and nominated that his future lies at Alberton.
Well, we argue about what Adelaide's offer was or whether it was an offer or not. I'm hearing it was close to 600
was
grand.
Was it six, Treaders?
That's
no
what you're saying.
It.
But it was a 3-year deal, I'm hearing. And up until a week and a half ago, they were favourites to land Motlop. Port Adelaide pitched last Friday. And for a bloke who, you know, he likes to feel the love, you know, he's a good player. He's come on a four-year deal. So Port's gone the extra year, but I'm hearing it's about the five mark. And let's face it, the Cats have still be able to match it if they want, but I reckon they want the cap space for Gary Ablett. So it looks like that's they just going to be a formality after he revealed he wanted to join Port rather than Adelaide or the Gold Coast. But last week, boys, when Port's BNF was on Friday Night Brokes, Koshy was part of the pitch. Ken Hinckley was part of the pitch. And my understanding, Ken Hinckley, the reason why players come is because the way he sells his footy club to them. Travis Boak, and the other one that sits quietly behind the scenes is Paulie Vanderberg, who runs the Indigenous Multicultural Program.
Does a good job.
Does a very good job. He really gets it. He knows how he can bring the boys in and also the football club support program around it, I think has probably edged Port Adelaide in front of Adelaide. And that's a big loss for Adelaide because they're desperately after him.
Do you both guys think that he might be a little bit overrated with this? Where's he at in his career, do you think?
Finished second there BNF 2 years ago.
Yep.
Had an unbelievable
year. They wanted to trade him 2 years ago.
Yeah, but they got him. I think they wanted to trade him. Yeah, 2 years ago. 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
3 years ago, yeah. It was. Second behind Selwood. And he had a ripping season. Are there deficiencies in his game? Absolutely. Are there areas that he needs to improve? Absolutely. Are there areas he brings to the football club that Port Adelaide go, this is why we're paying him? Yes. Mm-hmm. But I think, Brokes, this is a fact is you've got to get him out of Geelong. He's not an unrestricted free agent. You've got to pay him the money. Nowadays, the 500 grand was the 350 or 2 years ago.
Stock standard now, isn't it?
It is. Everyone's getting 500 grand because the TV rights have sent salaries 20% north very, very quickly. And he's also got two clubs, Port and Adelaide, desperate for him. The Gold Coast, you want to talk about money. I'm hearing his offer was over 700 to go to the Gold Coast because they've got room in their cap. Ablett's going out and they need a name, someone who can run and carry the footy, which he can do. But he wants to try and win a premiership, he thinks, both Port and Adelaide. And I think it was a week earlier, but with a few of the off-field lever things and bits and pieces that had put a little bit of dampener on an amazing year for Adelaide, I reckon he would have been a crow.
Yeah, and it's always exciting when a Motlop is in full flight at Port Adelaide. We've seen it over many years. But now the question is, what does Adelaide do? They've got more draft picks than the US military, and they haven't unloaded anything. Where do they go from here?
Well, they've got 16 and 10 at the moment. Andrew McDougall, who works with Colin Young, who's McGovern's manager, but also Charlie Cameron's manager out of the West, has said there is an offer on the table, pick 19 from Brisbane to Adelaide. Adelaide... Everyone sits there and go, why don't you take it? Well, I sit there and go, why don't you take it? But it's already there. So they can sit and hold. We know trade week goes to next Thursday. Yeah. So we've got, another 6 days, even though they supposedly don't trade on weekends. But I think they're going to take that because that now gives them an arsenal of picks. We know the draft in 2018 is better. Rankin, Lukosius, two kids who are earmarked to be top five, maybe even number one in the comp, depending on how their seasons unfold. And they've dominated under 18 level as a year under, as under 17. So I think they may even pull 16, now 10 and 19 together to get a future pick, or they may even throw them in a bag, because they're all first round picks, into getting lower, go to a 4 or 5 or 3 this year. Mm. I think that's Adelaide's chance. Or Bryce Gibbs arrived in town here yesterday, boys.
Yeah, he was here for Fashion Week. Source sat with us and he caught up with him. Who knows?
But he's still in town. And if Adelaide aren't into him and making a phone call, I know
they
Justin Reid's...
They would be, for they sure, have to 100%.
And Justin Reid's been smart because last year they come out and even he said on Trade Radio Today, they learned their lessons because they went too hard. And I think the Blues led him down the garden path too because they knew he had 2 years on a deal and you had, or 3 years on a deal and had to go, here, you're going to have to offer us pretty good. But now I reckon they're waiting for Carlton to come to them and go, hey, you're still interested? And by that way, you'll actually reduce that. And all of a sudden, if you can get a Gibbs for a pick 10 or a 16 instead of two first-rounders, that'll help, I think, Adelaide more so a little bit than Motlop because I think they need a bit more depth in a centre square because we saw Crouchy's brilliant, both of them. Sloane was brilliant. But then who else could they go to in grand final time? Dougie's getting older. I think that's what they'll look to do and look for that to go crazy next Wednesday.
Hold your fire, Treasure. Just come back in a few moments because I want to ask you about this planning years and years ahead, which we saw with obviously what happened up in Brisbane with Tom Rockcliffe. That was unfolding a couple of years ago. But just stick around for a moment. Great to have you still here with us, Treaders. I mentioned before, now, prior to Port Adelaide signing Rockcliffe, they had Trav Boak up there pre-planned, ready to go at the end of the season to go and meet and greet him. So this is planning which is being done years out. You spoke on this program on Tuesday and said that we are naive to how advanced these recruiters are. So if Adelaide are stockpiling all those, you're saying they're leaning towards the younger players next year?
Well, I think they are. I think because
they've got something up their sleeve for this week.
I don't know. I suggest that if they get 19 for Cameron, and I'd do that deal. If a bloke doesn't want to be here, and it's family.
It's been Roos' philosophy, hasn't it? Yeah, if you don't want to be here,
Exactly. So, no point. But also, too, Brisbane's got an Arsenal picture. We talk about Adelaide's 10 and 16 and maybe 19. Brisbane's got, they finished bottom. So they've got compensation picks. They've got trade picks. They've got all these picks. They've got a compensation pick for Rockliffe, which is end of first round. So there's a lot of things available. I think from a footy club's perspective, and I'm not saying this to annoy Crows fans, but we know certain players are out of contract. Like certain players are out of contract. Chad Wingard's coming out of contract soon. Clubs who think they're gettable, and they don't just go, oh, they're gettable. Like Jake Lever. You make the phone call, all of a sudden it's not a flat-out no, he's staying there. It's a, I don't know, we'll see what happens. And all of a sudden, you get a sniff of it, you land a big offer. But clubs create cap space. We know North Melbourne's got a bucket load. We know St Kilda's got a bucket load. We also know Rory Sloane's out of contract next year, and he's a free agent.
You sparked that fire just yet.
But it's already sparked, and clubs are already planning to create space. And, Brokes, I want to touch on here, because you've just left the GWS.
Yeah.
You've had clubs come for these blokes.
Yeah.
In particular, a pretty Josh good Kelly. Wingman who made the All-Australian this year. Josh Kelly.
Devin Smith.
Blokes find, create the opportunities. Devin Smith is now available because you can't keep them all.
Yep.
Don't they? How far out are your guys moving?
Well, we've heard rumours that, you know, Devin Smith's been talking to clubs 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And, like, we're a poaching ground because we've got all the talent.
Trelaw.
All the high draft picks. And you're right. We can't, clubs can't keep everyone. And you've got to always look in the into the future. What are we going to look like in 2 years? You know, list managers sit there and go, well, this is going to be our list in 2 years. He's a priority to sign. He's a priority to sign. Don't worry about him if he can't keep him or lowball him. A lot of this stuff happens.
Moves
exactly what you
the
said.
Yeah. Slide off the
We're always down the bottom, so it never really issued us. But the strategy behind it all is more in depth than what it was when we were playing. And the players have got more power now. A contract means nothing these days. So if a player wants to bump his salary up, he'll go talk to another club, even though he's got 2 years to go on his contract. So players are smarter, managers are smarter, and this is what we're seeing in Trade Week now.
And some key managers who look after hundreds and 200s of players in big groups are now dictating a lot of this movement.
Yeah.
You know, and Jarman Impey's gone on a three-year deal,
terrific
$1.4 million. Dollars.
This is the evolution of the small forward.
This is a bloke who played a lot of SNFL footy.
Yeah.
It's in vogue now. It's in vogue now. Yeah. Every club wants it.
See, the thing I only found out 18 months ago is that I know Port Adelaide in particular has got, and I think every club, you got recruiting guys. You know, Jeff Parker's the main guy, but Port's got a guy that looks on the year ahead. So he's working on 2019 draft.
Yeah, a lot of spots.
So they're trading for future picks. They've actually got guys who are going to the draft, but it's not actually happening because these kids aren't old enough. And I think it's a classic bit is the next stage for salaries is everyone goes, oh, we need it, not a 2 year minimum, 3 or 4. I don't like that because I reckon if a bloke's a dud, club gets caught for 3 or 4 years with them.
Yeah.
What you'll find, I reckon the next CBA, I know we've got 5 or so years and it's just been done, but the next CBA will be if you're in contract, you don't have any say on a trade because players all have to agree and the club agree, like Lever, to go there. Soon will be what happened is if in a Lever situation fronts in 5 years' time, my opinion will be like the NBA and other clubs. Jake, you want to go? No, Collingwood's got us a better deal. You're going to Collingwood. Mm. So you don't have any say on it. Andrew Bogut got flicked. You know, he went to the Cavs. He's gone all over the joint. Free agents just get shot anywhere. And I think it'll then go back into the clubs. The players still get paid. But 1 minute they could be playing for Brisbane. The next year they could be going to the Gold Coast. And if they still don't perform, they can be going like a seasoned veteran who's played in 20 different clubs in the NBA.
I'll tell you what, Port Adelaide are the winners so far in this trade period, aren't they?
On fire.
Aren't they? And I reckon they've still got a bit.
Up a
I reckon
draft
they've still got a bit to go.
And they haven't given up a draft pick.
I think their Watts is firming.
Super sharp pencil down in Alberton. But another thing that was sharp back in your day, and Dom Cassisi had a real problem with this, was when Warren Treadray used to rock around his red Speedos pulled up over his ears. Now, how did you deal with that? Because it's an ugly sight.
Black.
It used to be in the paper all the time.
Yeah, he used to love that, didn't he? With the no shoulders and the white, really pale white skin.
Did you see that kangaroo yesterday? You see that big, tough kangaroo in the water? No. Someone said to me that had my shoulders. the thing I love, though?
He was the one
remember that final got smashed by the Crows and Biggle just woke up from Choppy Pickett's
hit? Oh, that's right.
Oh, that one, the one we won by 85 points.
No, that never happened.
You didn't remember it, so what are you talking about?
It's amazing. You got back on the ground after that.
Kicked the goal too,
Brokes.
Good stuff.
Well, you know what?
Thanks very much for coming in.
See you, boys.
And we'll see you all next week when it really heats up. Round 2 of the Trade Week.
Jars and Louie, you're on a 4.7 Triple M. The boys are back on Monday right now. You got Rhett Biglands and Power Premiership player Dean Brogan.
Quiz with no name, thanks to Automasters, just around the corner. Great to have you with us, Brogues. Fresh out of the coaching box from the 2017 AFL season with the Giants. Now, of course, you played against Richmond and Adelaide in both finals this year. They went on to play in the grand final. And lot of Port supporters who I seem to be surrounded by really thought that if they had have got through that West Coast game, which was one of the most memorable AFL finals in history, purely for the outcome, you're at the game with Leon Cameron watching it, that the Power would have pushed you boys a lot further. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I 100% agree with you, Biggles. It's a funny story about that. We were sitting actually behind the goals where Shuey had that shot on goal, and I hate to say it, but all us coaches were standing there cheering that goal through because
cheering for West Coast.
It was quite a, if someone had a photo and snapped us all jumping out of our seats. Well, now, whether we got caught up in the moment or we really wanted to play West Coast the week after, that's the million-dollar question. But look, sitting there from a coaching point of view, we thought Port Adelaide, if they got through, they'd cause us a few issues the next week.
Everyone did.
So, you know, and we knew West Coast, it was an overtime game. West Coast, old legs, they had to travel again. We knew it, that we'd have three or four goals on them starting from the game. And we played really well the week after and we did what we should have. But looking at that game, yeah, Port Adelaide, we were like normal West Coast supporters. It was quite unique.
I think Adelaide supporters were West Coast supporters that night too as well. So Richmond go on to play in the flag and win the 2017 flag. Now, you have seen over the years, particularly with the Western Bulldogs, how they've evolved a mosquito fleet to sort of change the style of play at the moment. In the trade period, we're seeing a lot of smaller players being hot property. So is Richmond a one out of the box, and or will coaches then look at it and try and model their game plan? Or is Adelaide the team that more coaches will look at to go, we need to get to that level because they had such an amazing year?
Look, I think a lot of coaches and now a lot of recruiters now are going to try and replicate what Richmond did. And when I say try, you've got to have the personnel. And they have a really small team. And they've got a small team because of the way they built their list. And I think if you'd asked Richmond, you're going to win the grand final this year, they would have said, well, we'll just be happy to make the eight because of where they finished and the list they had. They played small ball, as I like to call it, a really small forward line, and they just got numbers to the contest. Now, they did that because of who they've recruited over the last few years. They've recruited speed, and they've recruited multiple versatile players. Now, most clubs don't have that. They don't have that. And I know with the Giants, we look at Adelaide and go, well, we're similar to them. We've got the big Giants, they've got the big power forward. We've got the big ruckman. We've got the big fullback. We're not as quick. So I think teams are going to try to go Richmond style, but it's going to be hard to do. And we've seen guys like Impey get these big contracts and Devin Smith going to Essendon, and teams are really going to start loading up. But it's going to be an interesting, because you see what Bulldogs did last year. People tried to replicate what the Bulldogs did. Bulldogs fell off the face of the earth this year. Now, yes, they had some injuries and whatnot, but facts are the facts. They didn't even make the finals. So have Richmond cashed in on an unusual AFL year, and their stars played like, you know, Martin, Cochin, the fullback, what's his name?
Rance. Also
they played out of their skin this year. They carried them, let's be honest. If they have down years next year, will Richmond really fall back to the pack, which is what happened with the Bulldogs this year? So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. I still think Adelaide are the model team because most teams are built like Adelaide. Key position players. And it takes time to rebuild your list to get like Richmond. So it can be interesting.
Football supporters have also subscribed to the theory that the AFL have encouraged Richmond to be successful in this year. And you laugh.
Don't
because...
Don't get me started on this, Biggles.
Let's think about that Ellis hit on Whitfield. And also Cochin gets no fine, no suspension, plays in a grand final.
I'm so glad I'm in the right form now. I'm not a coach now, so I can actually say what I actually feel. If that was anybody else that hit Dylan Shiel, now he would have at least got a fine.
Yeah.
He would have at least got a fine.
Yep.
They didn't even look at it. Mm. Okay? Now, you don't have to be Einstein to know what's going on here. Now, I could not say this when I was a coach of the Giants. Now, I'm a normal person, 9-to-5 person. I can have an opinion on this. He should have been suspended. Now, not because of the hit, but because of his priors. Ask yourself this, if Toby Green would have done what Trent Cotchin did, would Toby Green would have played the next week if the Giants would have got through?
The answer
would have been no. Mm. He would have got 4 weeks. So am I a bit dirty about it? Yes, I am. But it's all in the past now. So, look, I'm sure a lot of Adelaide fans would have been sitting there waiting for the verdict on Cotchin as well. So I'm with you, Crow fans. He shouldn't have played.
Great stuff. We love it when you're on this side of the fence. More to come. Stick around.
Can't believe I just said that.
Craig Williams as well, just around the corner, is going to talk us through the Everest, which is the biggest horsing race in history tomorrow.
It's a Rush Hour, 104.7. This is Triple M. Juz and Louis back on Monday. This is the Rush Hour on Triple M. Filling in, it's Brett Biglands and Power Premiership player Dean Brogan.
Hey, Brogues, quick one on Matty Lobie as
well. Yeah, a bit of a trade update here, boys. Matty Lobie has reportedly met with two clubs today. Rumour is it both Brisbane and Gold Coast are interested in the big man.
Yeah, seeing his future outside of Alberton.
Can't blame him for that. He hasn't been given a go, and I still think Matty Lobie's got something to offer personally.
He's a good player, that's for sure. Hey, this is the best part of the day, Hazy, isn't it?
Isn't it, mate? It's Cruise with no name.
It's
for
a chance for us to give away $1,000.
Been looking forward to this, Biggles, haven't you?
Light up your phones, people. 133353. Thanks to Automasters. You can win $1,000 if you get all the 10 questions right.
We'll play next.
Here we go. Welcome to Ben from Seaford. How are you, Ben?
Yeah, good, fellas. How are you?
G'day, Ben.
How are you?
Good, mate.
Feeling confident?
Good. Reasonably.
How was your Friday? Busy Friday?
Yeah. Oh, not bad, mate. Not bad.
Working? Laxing?
Working.
Sound pretty sure relaxing. There, Ben. Come on, mate. Fire up. It's Friday. Let's go.
It's in the zone.
All right, mate. We will be after hopefully a grand.
Because it's Friday, we also get the Friday Dice Day. So we roll the dice, and if it lands 1, 2, 3, or 4, you get that number of Automasters. 4, 5, and 6, I should say, will give you 4 Automasters. 4 of 10. How's them apples?
I've got it here, Biggles.
Yep. And also, don't forget, if you pass, we've got time. We'll come back to it and we'll have a crack. Here's your spin, Ben. Let's have a look.
Here it goes.
All right.
It's a 3.
Ooh. 3's pretty good. You have 3 Automasters up your sleeve. You ready to go?
All right, mate. Let's go.
All the best. Number 1, which retired AFL forward was inducted into the Australian Sports Hall of Fame?
Tony Lockett.
Number 2, how many top 20 draft picks do the Crows currently own in this year's draft?
Pass.
How old is likely new Port Adelaide recruit Stephen Motlop?
26.
Who top scored for the 36ers in last night's win over the Cairns Taipans?
Automasters.
Who are Adelaide United playing tonight?
Pass.
What number draft pick has Brisbane reportedly offered the Crows for Charlie Cameron?
19.
Who top scored for the Redbacks with a bat in yesterday's win over Victoria?
Automasters.
Yep.
Name the world's richest race on turf taking place at Royal Randwick tomorrow.
Which Port Adelaide player was traded to Hawthorn yesterday?
Roman Impey.
How many Crow players made the AFL's international rules squad?
Pass.
How many top 20 draft picks do the Crows currently own in this year's draft?
Two.
I reckon I'll give you that too.
Yeah, he got it.
Yeah, we might
carry an Automaster.
You did too. I didn't want to say that. You were going so well.
Well.
We'll have a look at it.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Correct.
Oh. Hey, Benny, it was 8, but I couldn't find the button. So you got an extra one there, mate. Extra $10 for you.
Gee whiz. Hey, so I reckon number 10, did you have that? How many Crows players?
He passed.
Passed on that one. Yeah, so that was 3. Eddie Betts, Rory Laird, Rory Sloane. And then I reckon the Adelaide United one playing Brisbane Roar.
Yeah.
Yeah, tonight.
Out.
Not a bad effort. You've got a few
intense.
Bucks in the bank.
That was
intense. See if you can spend that tonight at the Adelaide UBet Adelaide Cup down at Angle Park.
Done.
Good on you,
Thanks,
Benny.
Boys.
All right, Benny. Have a great weekend. See you, mate.
Nice work. It's a Rush Hour. Juz and Louis, they're back on Monday filling in. It's Rhett Biglands and former premiership player for the Power, Dean Brogan, 104.7.
Dame, mate, great to have you on board. Busy week as always, especially this time of year.
Yeah, and a bit went down, didn't it, before the weekend kicks in with the confirmation that Stevie Motlop does want to join Tom Rockliffe there as a free agent at the Power. And it's testament to what they did, the Power, when they were bundled out by West Coast Eagles in that extra time final. They went hunting for players and identified those two, and they made a lot of ground on Rockliffe and, to a lesser extent, Motlop before the trade period opened up. They basically got Rockliff across the line in that period of time. And obviously, once the Cats bowed out in the prelim final, they went to work on Motlop as well. And that early work and that determination to get those players across the line has been rewarded. And I think they look all right, I reckon, now that they've had Impey go to the Hawks and Jackson Tringo go to the Dogs. I think the net ins there allow them to be pretty buoyant in their thoughts about what happens next year.
Damo, Dean Brogan here. Mate, where to from Adelaide now? They've missed out on Motlop. They've got a few picks inside the top 20. Where do you see their next play? Where are they at? Are they going to go after Gibbs? Are they going to just load up on picks? Where do you see the Crows right now?
Yeah, it's interesting. That 10 and 16 are the picks they've currently got. And you'd think they're going to get... they will get another one for Charlie Cameron. Yeah. That'll be done now.
You think
too,
that deal will get done?
Yeah, I say that because his manager today has actually said publicly that the two clubs are now talking about Brisbane Lions pick right. 19. So my take on that is if you're engaging in talks about 19, you're engaging in talks about him going. So you just now work out what happens. Now, if you give up 12, you might want to get something back if you're the Brisbane Lions as well. But he's going to be, the way I read this now, a Brisbane Lions player next year. So that allows them to then go back in, doesn't it, with what it is they need to do. I mean, they've got that pick from Lever at 10 and their own at 16. They get in 12 or 19. It's a third pick effectively in the first round or thereabouts. They'll have to go back in. And I've never deviated from the possibilities around the Bryce Gibbs situation. He was telling people before the trade period started that he was going to ask the question. What they've done, Dean, on this occasion is choose to... Whatever's going on is now being kept behind the public front. Yeah. Last year it was very public.
Yeah, it was very open last year. Shot themselves in the foot a bit last year.
Yep, and ultimately that's what blew it up in the end. The blindsiding of the Carlton club as much as the public was what annoyed the whole situation. It annoyed Carlton to the point where they just demanded those two first rounders. So... Mm. I would still think that will go pretty hard. I mean, there's no point, I think, if you're coming out of a grand final to take three first-round draft picks into the draft itself.
When your window's right there, isn't it?
Your window's there. Your window's there. Who's available? What's to get? But if they do get that third one, and I reckon they should go down the path and actually lock it away over the course of the weekend, so to leave themselves with the 4 days to do some damage. And who knows? They might be able to wrench someone out of another club that we haven't even thought of, you know, to this point. And I reckon they need to be that aggressively minded going into the 4 days, provided they do get that third pick, which I do believe they will get over the Cameron transaction.
One of those players who is a possibility but very unlikely is having some issues with what's been going on off the field. Jake Stringer, the package. So he's now unlikely to go to Essendon, but there's some issues around him off the field which could have an influence on where he ends up.
Yeah, I don't share that view, Red, on the unlikely element to him go. I still think it'll get done. There's not, as you rightly point out, a lot of interest in him. It's not as if there's 17 clubs banging the door down, but look, as this gets closer to 2 p.m. Melbourne time next Thursday, you know, the absolute reality of Jake Stringer being available, it's going to be enticing to a club that it's not enticing to right now. But I still feel that Essendon will have enough to get this done. I still feel that Aaron Francis, the fact that the two Adelaide clubs are still being spoken to by Essendon about Aaron Francis suggests to me that they're going to get a pick back for him that will allow them to free up and shake out Stringer out of the Bulldogs. But again, the Bulldogs need to be careful too. The last thing they want now is for him to walk back into their doors next year. Luke Beveridge is not one to... No, it's just not. It wouldn't be the first time it's happened, but gee, there's a lot of bad blood. It's irretrievable the way I read that.
That's the stuff
right
off field
now.
I'm talking about. And I still think it's having an impact for other clubs, but it's more to play.
There's no doubt about that. But again, I think they've known that for some time. And even prior to the article written in the Herald Sun by his former partner, clubs were aware of what was going on even before that as well. So that's why the interest levels, you know, initially were with Geelong and then they moved to Essendon. And it's why there's no other clubs at this stage screaming out to get involved. But again, knowing the way trade periods play out, as that 2 p.m. deadline nears, that they will get involved because, you know, when they finish up, they want to know that they'll convince themselves that the good Jake Stringer is the one they can bring on board under their system. And that's why there's a little bit to play out with it. But I still see him, though, Rhett, going to the Bombers.
Yeah. Jack Watts.
Yeah.
Where's he at, and do you think Port can still get him?
Yeah, they can. The way they'd structured their salary cap, it was tight there for some time, and well done to them because they didn't align the 20% increase under the CBA with the deals that were currently in play. And while that's, you know, might annoy the incumbent players, it's allowed them to do what they've done. And cleverly, the two they've already got in by way of confirmation in Rockliff and Motlop, they've got them in without giving anything up. They're compensation picks. So really cleverly identified and got done. And Watts will require them to give something up. I think, I don't have the notes in front of me, but they've got to pick, you know, around about the 28 or 30 point, which I believe will be enough to get it done with Melbourne. And then it's just the financial thing. And they've got the room clearly. And that's the way it's heading. For some reason, Geelong didn't hook up with him in a positive way when they had the catch up during the week. And they've backed away from it and will not be going all in on it. And it allows now Port Adelaide to explore the options, which they are doing. And I think they'll thrash this one out over the weekend, and we'll have an answer on him by the close of the weekend. But I do believe it will be Port.
Informative as ever, Damo. We're going to let you charge your phone. I don't know how many phone calls you make during trade week.
Good work, Damo.
Seriously, you must, I don't know, got some sort of deal going on. You would have millions of calls. But
There's a few. And the weekend, the Caulfield Guineas and the Everest in Sydney, I think, will mean that some of those calls don't come through on a Saturday. But maybe
well, they
Sunday
might come through
again.
Saturday night after about 10 beers.
We're interviewing Craig Williams in a few moments' time, and he'll give us all the good oil. But we appreciate your time, Damo. Good stuff.
Good to chat, boys.
So Rush Hour, 104.7, Triple M. So Rush Hour, Jazz and Louis, the boys are back on Monday filling in. It's Rhett Biglands and Power Premiership player Dean Brogan.
Great news for the West Adelaide Footy Club. A new signing with the head senior coach announced just moments ago, Brogues. And Gavin Colville, former teammate of mine, 300-game player for Woodville West Torrens. Terrific player and a wonderful coach as well.
Great pickup. There's a lot of job vacancies going on at the moment. South Adelaide need to find a coach quick smart too.
Yeah, we've got a bit of mail there in regards to the South job. Perhaps Benny Hart was looking at it. Hasn't returned the call yet. We know his son is in Melbourne at the moment completing school for next year, and it'll be a tough move for him. But Jacob Surgeon as well, I think, had an interview today down there. And Benny Warren, premiership coach from Norwood at the time, has been an assistant with Sturt this year in their premiership year. Having an interview down there as well, other reports, but we will confirm that once we speak to someone from South Adelaide. But a lot of movement going on. Hey, Brogues, it was interesting, and you've been all over the Jake Lever scenario as well, but GWS have been targeted with so many gun players and what you've had over the years. You've lost a lot also. And the best and fairest scenario where Jake Lever didn't go to the Adelaide best
was
and fairest.
Told not to go. From what I've heard, I don't know.
Yeah, told not to go, didn't go because he was driving back. There were different reports. Tex was on this program, said that he had never planned to go. I don't know how he got his Melbourne jersey and his hat in Amsterdam as well. He planned that pretty well. Just took that over with him in the flight, I suppose. You can't buy them at an AFL store in Amsterdam.
I think so.
You can buy some other stuff.
The coffee shops.
The other green variety. Hey, talk me through the best and fairest at GWS and how you guys handle it, because you've had Treloar and the likes of these guys.
Devin
hard
Smith.
Hard to deal with a messy breakup.
Yeah, look, I think when I saw that Lever was, well, what we read and journalism reports always true, he was asked not to go. So I looked at our situation, you know, when I was with the Giants, and every year a couple of players say they want to get traded or they're going to get traded, but we always invite them anyway and say, we actually get them up on stage, say thanks for all your service, give them a handshake, and then it's never messy. Look, being an infant club and being up in Western Sydney, we try and keep everyone happy because we're building. We don't want any bad blood between anyone leaving, and you just never know what's going to happen around the corner. So I found it really interesting to see what happened with the Jake Lever scenario, but the dynamics are different for such a huge club like Adelaide. They've just come off of losing a grand final. You've got a lot of people that go to these dinners, like you said before, a lot of sponsors that are very passionate about the club, and it wouldn't have been a good look from their point of view. I can see why they didn't want him to go, but I know from a Giants point of view, it looks really good when you can thank a player for their service and good luck for the future. You know, good luck over the next 2 weeks over the trade period. We'll see what happens. That's how it normally goes. So that's how the Giants have done it in the past, and it's worked really well. When Adam Treloar left, he made it quite clear he was leaving. He finished second in the best and fairest, got up, made a really passionate speech to the Giants, said thanks for everything. I'll never forget the Giants, and moved on, and he went his merry way and he's continued his career. So it's an interesting dynamic, a little small club in Sydney compared to the possibly one of the biggest clubs, and what happens when a player wants to get traded. It's
still on that discussion, a man who may well be leaving Adelaide, Charlie Cameron, was at the best and fairest, and his manager, here's what he had to say in regards to what possibly could go down with their movement there, Andrew McDougall.
Yeah, Brisbane have offered up, I can tell you, pick 19 at this stage, so they're working through it at the moment with Adelaide, and Justin and the Adelaide Crows have had some dialogue through the media, and we've had our dialogue as well. But, you know, Charlie's heart's set on getting to Queensland, and, you know, he's definitely struggled for the last 12 months in Adelaide, and he just really wants to be closer with family and friends. We're hoping for compassionate reasons that they look at it.
Look, for a manager to come out and say that publicly, it's clear, it's crystal clear that he does not want to be at the Adelaide Football Club next year.
Parents are in Perth.
I don't know what the situation is, but he has asked for compassionate. You have to respect that wish. But from an Adelaide club, the Adelaide Footy Club have got to do what's right for the Adelaide Footy Club. And they have to get the right deal for them as a footy club. They've put a lot of time into this kid. He's come from nowhere. He's had some really good couple of years. He's still contracted. For him to come out and say that, there's going to have to be a lot of work behind the scenes to get this deal done. I think the deal, we heard Damo Barrett before on Treaders, the deal will get done because you don't want a player at your club who's struggled already. His managers can't see struggling already. And then to keep him on another year, he's going to struggle again. It could bring your list, it could cause more trouble. So the deal will get done, but it's a unique situation. So look, I hope for everyone's sake, everyone gets a win-win out of this and everyone moves on.
And more reports out of Port Adelaide as well. Well, this is unfortunate for them. Sean Hart has accepted a role as head of development with the Gold Coast Suns. And he's been wonderful down there. You have much to do with Hardy?
I haven't, but I've heard good things. And Gold Coast are starting to poach everyone now, aren't they? Almost got Ken Inkley by the bait, didn't they?
Stewie Jew, though. That's a great pickup.
It's a Rush Hour, 104.7 Triple M. Jazz and Louis return on Monday. In the meantime, it's Rhett Biglands and Power Premiership player Dean Brogan. A couple of very big lads just filling the seats.
Certainly raised the height here on the Rush Hour. Raised the IQ level as well, Brogues, with those two gooses. But Gavin Colville has just signed as the West Adelaide. Get you on without having a bit of fun with you, Brogues. And I mean, when you go down to the Alberton Hotel, the famous Alberton Hotel, when you're in the front bar, a lot of blokes talk about the folklore which has unfolded behind closed doors at Alberton.
Yes.
And your name gets mentioned quite often when you're having a couple of frothies down there.
Yeah.
Mainly because of your chin. They reckon there used to be, most blokes do chin-ups, and Matty Primus used to do a lot of chin-ups, but then they renamed them. You renamed them Brogan-ups.
The Brogan-ups.
You used to clip your chin on the bar and just lift yourself up with that. Is this true?
It used to keep me up.
Used to hang up with you.
Instead of, you know, you've heard the saying, oh, the bar was holding me up. I was holding the bar up with my chin.
But you had a bit of a disadvantage to try and get that chin over the bar as well, instead of just doing it.
I can't help what my mother and father gave me.
Oh, I know. It's unlike. What about the conspiracy theory that you and the Power mascot, Thunder Power, have never been seen in the same place together at the same time?
He has been known to be my twin brother or my double.
Did they ask you to be the mascot? Is that true?
I was the mascot.
You were the mascot. Elaborate.
No, the boys used to rip into me all the time and send photos and go, Brogues, we saw you out the other night, and send a photo of that. But that's all right. You can make fun of my defects.
We used to say that a lot, and then the Port boys, Peter Burgoyne in particular, used to say that he looks more like Dean Brogan than Dean Brogan.
Oh, this is great. I love being on this show.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, now, I want you to talk us through this one. There was a video that was shown, I think it may have been with Choco or possibly Matty Primus, where it was you skydiving. And when you were skydiving, they had the video footage. And I'm not sure if it was meant to be inspirational or what, but you were screaming your head off going, this is better than sex!
Where'd you get this info from?
Talk us through what happened.
Oh, there might have been something said like that. Have you ever skydived?
No.
Well, it actually is. Depends how good your sex life is. Mine at that stage was not great.
Non-existent.
So when you skydive, the rush you get from skydiving, it's better than anything. So I don't think that's a bad thing to say.
No.
But just, it's just It reflects on where I was at with my love life back then.
Didn't you say something else after that?
I said something, but I don't think we should repeat that.
Why not?
It's probably better than any drug that anyone could ever have.
You hadn't touched too many drugs, but you're like, this is better than drugs. And then the coach
Jesus
looked at you and
said, I know where you got this dirt from. And wait till I call him. A guy called Bowen Lockwood, I bet.
Could be Shonkwood, could be Peter Berg.
Just on, we got, I was doing some digging up on you too, mate. I heard this segment So I was listening to Triple M a couple of months ago, and I had to go back in the archives for this. And being in Sydney, it was really hard to get. But I found it.
Oh, this is a rhubarb.
Can we go to it, please?
No late changes for either side. At the moment, the conditions are pretty good after some hectic rain throughout the afternoon. Really about 30 minutes ago, it came down pretty heavy, but it's dry out there at the moment. Deck a little bit slippery, but not too bad. So no rain on the forecast for the rest of the night, but hopefully it stays dry, lads.
Good on you, Red Biglands.
And it's coming down.
Red Biglands told us no more rain for the night. He's on the money. What are we, 1 minute in and it's pouring? Biggles the weatherman.
You can actually hear it. It wasn't rain. It was an absolute storm.
That's Ditz's best gag.
I got something else here that you've dug up here, bro. So I don't know what it says.
Oh, that's right.
There's just a little clip that says, do not play if Biggles is around. So I'll see what's going on.
Can we go down to Red Biggles? Biggles, is it raining at the Adelaide Oval?
Or is he drowning?
The first thing to do is make sure you read the right weather report. I read Melbourne's. It was clear. Adelaide, torrential rain. It is thick down here at the moment.
Dumb, thick ruckman you are.
The finest hour. And doesn't every port supporter let me know every time I rove the boundary with that one? I apologise for everyone who's tuned out, because that was a little bit of beef stroganoff coming out of the two ruckman's mouths.
It's a rush hour on Triple M.
Well, in a massive weekend in sport, the richest turf race in the world is off tomorrow at Randwick. It's going to be massive, and we're lucky enough to be joined by one of the greats. Well, he's now over 40 years of age, but we love seeing him ride around. Craig Williams joins us. Mate, how are you feeling? The big build-up tomorrow? A lot of nerves around?
No, not nerves, just excitement. It's the inaugural running of the Everest, and I got a really great chance in Vega Magic, who... you guys were able to see when he first came across to the eastern states, where he started with a partnership of Hayes and Dabbing, and he won the Goodwood.
No doubt. Yeah, Hayes spoke to us this morning on Triple M Breakfast, but five straight wins for Vega Magic. You're obviously pretty confident.
Yes, he's the he's tough. He's proved himself at weight for age. He's proven his strength, and most important in regards to my association with him, he's just proven to be a winner. He just loves to be in front, and that's fantastic for a racehorse, and looking forward to it. It's his first way of going right-handed, but the reports are that he's handled that direction in his preparation really well, and he has come up with a sticky barrier drill, but he's a really tough horse, and it's a cracking race, and he's one of the main chances.
Craig, Dean Brogan here, mate. How are you?
I'm well.
What sort of strategy are you going with, mate?
Well, he hasn't got the best barrier draw. He's come out a bit awkward on the draw.
Yep.
And the track is quite an interesting track, where it's not that huge of a disadvantage to be up on the camber, where it looks like his map's like he's going to be. But there is rain predicted. There are 7 meters. So I'll walk the track like always, and then throughout the day I've got a couple of gaps in between before. So I've got a couple of rides and a couple of gaps, and I'll go out and walk the track again, and then talk to David about what our plan will be, and then it's all up to him. Then when we leave the gates, hopefully Vega Magic responds to what our plans are, and then if he doesn't, then we're riding accordingly. He is a big, tough, galloping horse, and he's going to take a power beating in that race tomorrow.
Who's your biggest threat?
I always respect Chautauqua.
Yeah.
Because
how
because
far back can
good,
she come from?
Well, when he's good, he's great. So I think that you've got to always respect him.
Yeah.
David's always had a huge opinion of Redkirk Warrior, and he's drawn a lot more favourable than I have in Gate 3. And he did all his racing in his major racing in Hong Kong, which is the same direction of Sydney. And Sheewell Rain's proven that she's come back and been a force to reckon with at weight for age against the older horses after her two-year-old career. So she's drawn very favourable. So I think they are the main horses. Red Zeal is very tough and gallant. Even Hugh Bowman's horse has been racing well, but I think my horse's form warrants that he's the one that they have to beat.
Chatting with Craig Williams, of course, riding the Everest tomorrow. Hey, Craig, what does this do for the sport of racing? Randwick Racecourse recently promoted the cheaper beer and cheaper pies, but this prize money and this event really puts it on the top shelf.
Hello?
Yeah, there, mate. You still got us?
Yeah, obviously I'm going to pay my phone bill, so I better win tomorrow. I think initiatives are fantastic. Competition's great because even the reason why we have got a big prize money boost in Victoria is because of the competition with New South Wales. Mm. But for a purist of the sport, I can't understand why we want to have a great race meeting and a great race on the same day in the same country. It's crazy, but anyway.
What's your prep from here? Like, give us an insight, us being knucklehead footballers. What does someone like yourself do 24 hours out from one of your biggest races?
I went down to Werribee this morning and to ride Amaya Juice in preparation for the Caulfield Melbourne Cups. Yeah. Then when I came home, I picked up my Rolfer, who I flew out from Canada, who works on me. So same as your footballer fellas.
Yeah.
I got on the table and he worked on me for an hour and a half. I'll sit down and finish off my... I've done most of my homework last night. Watch my opposition, have a map and a strategy all planned out. My travel arrangements have been taken care of. My valet's already organised to come up with me, so he organises my gear throughout the day, so I don't have to worry about that. And then basically my job is then to get on and ride the horse, and if we work out really well together and get the luck in running, then we're going to have a great day.
Massive day tomorrow. We really appreciate you taking the time. Good luck on Sweet Deal and Curo prior to that, and then we'll be having all our eyes on you in the Everest.
Good luck,
Vegas
mate.
Magic. Well done.
All
thanks,
best.
Greg.
Thanks, guys.